So, welcome back to the Scouts and I podcast. It is now August. Who would have thought it's August now? It's a bit ridiculous. Now we're at nearly 9 months into the year. It's not good.
Yeah, no.
Not good. But today I'm joined by our very own Matthew McCartney from Crawfordsburn. Say hello, Matthew.
How are we doing, folks?
Perfect. So, every podcast we do will always start with a few would you rathers.
Okay.
It's always interesting to see what people think, because I'm always like, oh, this will be interesting. So I've got a few here, and I will ask you why you've picked the answer.
Okay, well, so, hit me.
Okay, so let's see. Okay, so would you rather have the ability to see 10 minutes into the future or 150 years into the future?
150 years.
Why?
Don't know. Future's always, future's always fascinated me. I've always had this idea of like, where would we be in 150 years,
yeah,
or 1,000 years. I mean, that idea has just always fascinated me. So, yeah, there's no doubt in my mind that's what I'd pick. I just like the idea of seeing, like, people as a whole, not just, like, individuals, just society, I suppose. Where would it be in 150 years?
I'm thinking the 10 minutes in the future of the lottery tickets. And that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
I'm thinking that. But
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, lottery tickets could work.
Yes.
But I think that doesn't work for you because, you know, at the end of the day, lottery tickets close like a day
before. Do they?
No,
I don't know.
No, when do they close?
I don't know. I've never done one before. No. I've never done one, so I don't really know.
Deprived life. Deprived.
I've never done one. Okay, let's see. Okay. I know which one Vicky would choose for this, to be honest. Would you rather give up air conditioning and heating for the rest of your life or give up the internet for the rest of your life? Okay. I know Vicky would probably choose the internet because she can't do without being warm.
Right. So, okay, conditions. Are we talking about like Northern Ireland weather here?
Just air conditioning and heating. Air conditioning and heating. So I think it's all in the odium, like somewhere like America, it's going to be really warm.
Yeah,
you're going to have to suffer. When you come here, when it's cold, you're going to have to suffer.
I would probably rather keep the internet.
Yeah.
For the simple purposes that, you know, I think our weather's okay. You know.
Yeah, and if it gets cold,
so
you put on a jacket.
I love the cold.
Okay, that's fair enough then,
so
yeah.
That works for me.
I think I'd be the same. Because from pretty much like April to September, I'll wear shorts. Like October, I'm like, I don't really care about the cold.
Oh, yeah.
I'll wear whatever.
Oh yeah, no, look, this heat wave turned me into a raisin. properly dehydrated, wrinkly and everything. And I was like, not a good look.
I think that's the first I've ever heard someone say that it turned into a raisin during a heat wave. Okay, a couple more here. So let's see. Okay. Would you rather be an extra in an Oscar-winning movie or the lead in a box office bomb?
Why not? Let's go for lead.
Okay.
You know, have a moment of glory.
Yeah, you'd have a lot of moments in glory, because people remember the bad things, I find.
Yeah.
Maybe not for the good reasons to remember them, but you'll remember them.
But you get your moment, and then people will forget about you. You know.
True.
So, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That's fair enough. Okay. So one more. Let's see. I'll get a good one. I will. I can't choose this one. It's about being in a forest for a week. I can't choose this one.
Yeah.
Just we're in Crawfordsburn right now, so I can't say that because I feel like it'd be like, no, I'll do this every day. Yes, I like this one. So would you rather have a pause or a rewind button in your life?
Pause or rewind? That is actually quite a difficult one.
I know. I think, personally, I go for a rewind. Just so if you do something wrong, you can kind of go, oh, flip, okay, I'll go back and repeat that to do it again right. But pause, like, finally, you know, if you do something wrong, you're only pausing the inevitable of something, the repercussions. That's my opinion.
It's a bit of an interesting one because it sort of ties in maybe with how I view things. I mean, I tend to sort of see things as like, you know, you live your life, regrets and all that, you know, it all adds up to what you are now. So
yeah,
to rewind would take away from that. So I think if I had to really pick one, it's pause, because I would say live in the moment.
As opposed to the rewind one, if you want to make your life perfect, it goes back to me being like lottery tickets. If you rewind stuff, everything in your life will be perfect and there'll be nothing ever wrong with your life. And then now I'm changing my mind. I don't know, actually. I think if you took a rewind, your life would be perfect and you'd get bored of your life being that perfect. Because you change everything to be the way you want it to be.
But then would you really know if your life is perfect? Because you've never done something you didn't like.
That's also true.
Like I said, if I look back at my life, you know, I know some of the worst moments that I ever had were key moments to what I became now.
Yeah, I suppose I'm the same, you know, yeah.
I feel like if I was to take them away, I wouldn't actually have ended up where I am now. So,
yeah, you know, that's a tough one.
Whereas I'd say, actually, now I'm really, really happy.
Yeah, okay.
You know?
Yeah.
But it took a little bit of suffering to get to that
that's
point.
Fair, yeah. I think that's fair enough. Yeah. That it is a hard one. Yeah. I might give you that for all to see what people say. Okay, so we've learned a bit about what I suppose, you know, what Matthew thinks about, but tell us a bit about yourself, who you are, what you do, your favourite Wednesday afternoon activity, something. Just tell us a bit about yourself.
Oh, let's see. Well, obviously I work here at Crawfishburn as the activity coordinator. You know, and during the summer months, I have no life.
Yeah. Fair enough.
So it is. I work here. I've now recently had a daughter. So,
fantastic. Congratulations.
Thank you. But again, I now have no life.
And no sleep.
You know, recently engaged. So again, no life. You know, so you can sort of see where this is going. You know,
I can see very well where this is going.
There's a lot of these big commitments now. I've entered my life. And things have changed. So
okay.
But I suppose if we were to rewind a little bit, using that rewind button, I suppose what would I've always enjoyed doing? I mean, let's get the usual ones out of the way, you know, hanging out with friends, all that sort of stuff, watching TV. But a big thing for me is just that I've really enjoyed the outdoors.
Okay, I suppose that works well when you're...
When you work it.
Literally outdoors, 24, well, by saying maybe not 24-7, but 20, like 16-7 maybe.
No, it's an interesting one. Like I said, I'm maybe a child of two worlds.
Fair.
I really enjoy sort of sitting inside, being on the computer, playing a few games, but equally I just enjoy getting up into that mountain.
Yeah, and that's fair.
Doing stuff. So
totally.
It's an interesting balance. That would probably be the answer there.
Interesting. Okay. Okay. Yeah. No, that's fair enough. Totally. So you've already said you're the activities coordinator here at Crawfordsburn. So how long have you been doing that for, and what does your job actually entail?
Well, let's see. So what, no, I've been doing that for just over 3 years.
Okay.
What does it entail? Now that's a...
Well, okay, what doesn't it entail?
I was going to say, that's a very huge question.
What doesn't it entail? We'll go with that then.
What doesn't it entail? That is a question, you know, actually. I think it does include a bit of everything.
Yeah.
Look, I think you end up doing a bit of everything around here.
Okay.
It's just the nature of the job.
Yeah.
You know, you can have your job description, and that's all fair and good, but I think you need to throw it out the window, you know.
Fair.
Because you do end up doing everything.
Yes.
And if we're looking at our job description, I'm basically responsible for everything activity related on
okay.
the site.
Okay, yeah.
So that can be maintenance, staffing.
Okay.
The running of activities, the development of programs, and looking at bringing in new activities.
Yeah.
Which on its own is already quite an extensive list and quite a time-consuming list.
Mm-hmm.
But on top of that, you know, we're talking to clients. We're trying to bring in new business. I do a lot of work with our corporate clients.
Okay.
Then I support the site manager as best I can. You know, so.
Okay.
Then I'm looking after the staff, keeping morale high.
Yeah.
You know, it's a busy job. You
it
know,
sounds, yeah.
You find stuff to do. You know, you'll never be quiet. Yeah.
So
that's for sure.
This is more like a double question, this one. So it's, what does a week look like for you? So it goes a week in the summer and then a week not in the summer.
I think you're being pretty smart in breaking that down.
Yeah, I know, I know. So we'll go with a week in the summer, first of all.
Okay, well, let's take a look at a day in the life of Matt
okay.
in the summer.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's see. If our summer scheme is running, I typically arrive at 9 o'clock. However,
mm-hmm.
I could be in as early as 30:30.
What time would it normally start out the summer scheme around?
Summer scheme is 9 o'clock, but sometimes we need to have someone on site.
To let people,
Who's 9:30.
Okay.
The guys, the other Matt, would sort of generally handle that.
Okay.
But if he's not available, then I'd be the one who comes in for that.
Okay.
9 o'clock would be our go time.
Mm-hmm.
So from 9 o'clock through to 10 o'clock,
yeah.
we have to set up our activities.
Okay.
That could be a it could be a gentle day if there's not a lot going on.
Yeah.
Or it could be a manic run around if everything needs to be up and running. Because you've only got 1 hour to do it.
Oh, flip, yeah, of course, you know,
You know, if you're dealing with other clients on the site, you know, the staff aren't always available to go set up their own activity.
Yes.
They might need to go and deal with other groups, you know, talk to groups.
Yeah.
And sort of just make sure they know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then if the summer scheme's in,
yeah,
you know, I've got to deal with that too. So staff need to be there to make sure the little kids are running around having a good time and not terrorizing people. But
you want them to terrorize people, you don't want them to terrorize people.
Well, depends.
Okay,
depends.
Fair enough. Yeah,
by the end of the week you sort of have a group of your own little minions and they'll and they'll do what you want, you know.
Take the finger and they're just
it's fantastic. It's
like meerkats popping out of the ground,
you know. It's like it's like an Oliver Twist. You have little lovable giant pockets, you know. You know, I'll send them after the site manager. So that's our morning, you know.
Okay.
Now, from 10 o'clock through roughly to 12 o'clock is activity time.
Yes.
That's a standard time. So we're all there. We're all on activity. If I'm not on activity, which is rare in the summer, you know, I'll be doing administrative duties.
Okay.
Or again, liaising with groups.
Yes.
On site as best we can. Now, 12 o'clock, activities tend to finish.
Okay.
There's a bit of a reset if we're going again. So that maybe eats into our lunches a little bit.
Okay.
But lunches are typically 12 to 1. But like I said, if we're doing a reset, there might be 15 minutes
of
resetting.
Yes, of course, yeah.
And then the guys will run up, they'll grab their lunch, and then we're back out again, maybe about 10.
Okay.
10 past. You might get about nearly half an hour lunch.
It's still better than nothing.
So it is. But look, it's the business.
Totally.
You work during the summer, so.
Yeah.
That's what we do. And then from 1 o'clock, say to 3 o'clock, another activity, or maybe 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock, more activities. And then there's maybe an hour of takedown, basically.
Yeah. Okay.
Where the guys are out, taking down, putting things back to where they need to be, putting them to bed. And again, then checking in with all the groups to make sure they're happy with how the days went and making sure that they're, you know, ready for the next day if need be. Then I would probably go from 5 o'clock, I would say, through to 6 or 7.
It's
just catching up on administration.
Yeah, because you get all those emails and throughout the day you don't even look at.
Yeah.
There's
plenty of those.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you're just having to do almost like a triage. You're having to work out which ones are the urgent ones that need to be dealt with immediately,
and
which ones can maybe be pushed to tomorrow. Because during the summer, you know, you could be in here working 7 days a week. You could be doing 10-hour days for 3 months.
Yeah.
You know? So it becomes a survival game just as much as anything. You
totally.
Know? It's busy. That's a standard thing. You know, like I said, we just staff the week, get the planners sorted.
Yeah.
You know, make sure the staff's in the right place.
Yeah.
And most important is making sure the staff are actually happy as well.
Yes.
So at the end of the day, you've got to watch out for them burning out.
Yeah.
And you want to try and catch that early.
Cause 100%.
If they burn out, they burn out and hit hard.
Yeah, you burn out, that's you out for a bit,
Which is not good, because if their mental sort of attitude isn't there because they're getting fatigued.
And they're tired,
that comes through in your activity time as well.
You can just tell someone's you're like, oh, flippy.
Yeah.
It just looks like, you know, well, they don't want to be here doing this.
Well, that's just it. So like, it's super important to make sure that the guys are happy, because if they're happy, then it comes through in the delivery of the activity.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what we want.
Perfect.
You know, we want to deliver that high quality activity. And it starts with making sure the instructors are in good mental shape as well.
So I suppose that's a day / a week, because probably over the summer, every day is probably the same.
Pretty much, yeah.
When not in the summer, what does a day look like? Probably not as busy, thankfully.
Yeah, well, let's see. So obviously we're just coming into the off-season. I mean, I say off-season. The peak season is now just finished.
Yes.
We're moving into school season, which is not as high pressure.
Okay.
Yeah, it's still go.
Mm-hmm.
But even in the middle of winter, you know, we're working on our projects that we have. So that could be, it could be like revamping a new activity area.
Yeah.
Or revamping an activity area or investing in a new one.
Totally, yeah.
And repairing of kit. The inspections, of course.
I suppose they get damaged, especially over the summer when they're being used probably all day, every day. Things will always get broken or damaged.
Well, that's just it. I mean, like, look, things, like the guys will check their kit on each activity day, but obviously the inspections, which are done biannually, so every 6 months, are done by myself and sort of the core team.
Yes.
you know, they could take a couple of days because we've got to pull out every single carabiner, every single harness,
make sure everything
every
works,
paddle, everything that you can possibly think of.
And you think that could be like a 5 minute job, or you're like, that's not a 5 minute job at all. Pulling it out could be like a day, pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to dig out, like, say, for example, a carabiner. You know, we've got to take that carabiner, look at it, look for any wear and tear.
Yeah.
Look for any cracks that are starting to appear, and then we've got to check the gates. You know, so we close the gates, we screw them up, we do the three tests on a gate.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we've got to clean it. So again, that's a long process.
Yeah.
You know, and we've probably got, in the, we've got like about 100 plus carabiners to get through.
Yes.
You know, and then of course the same for the harnesses. You've got to go through the harnesses, check the weapon, check the buckles. You know, it's a very in-depth check of every piece of kit.
Is it boring? Let's be honest, is it boring to do?
It gets there. to be honest, I was talking to the guys about this. I was saying, you know, whenever I started here, I was super excited to do my first, to be in charge of my first inspection. And I was so happy to do it. I was great. We're going. And even now, I'm always like, it's a change. It's like, yeah, it's inspection time. But after maybe your fifth hour.
Yeah, you're like, I hate this.
It gets a bit boring. You know?
Yes. And that's the start. You're like, yes. And you're like, oh, no.
And that's actually where you've really got to be most wary, actually.
Yes, totally.
Because whenever you start to get bored, you need to make sure you're not slipping in your standards.
Could you look at one carabiner and go, oh, yeah, that's fine. And then, of course, someone goes and uses it, and they're like, well, this isn't. You're like, oh, flipping the wheel, that wasn't checked. And your standard just slipped that tiny bit. If you're that bit tired, that bit, oh, I just don't want to be here. Yeah. What's for dinner tonight? What's on the TV? That sort of stuff.
Yeah, so like you said, that's where you've got to be very aware of how you're feeling.
Yeah.
And even if that is taking a break, you go take a break.
Totally.
Because, you know, we can do this over a period of a week, you know, so it doesn't have to all be done in one head.
Oh, yeah.
But it's important that it is done right. So, you know, it's a safety kit.
100%, yeah.
So the time has to be taken to each piece, and it has to be given its care and attention.
Yeah.
Which obviously then gets logged. So, yeah.
Okay, fantastic. So I suppose that's what a normal day would look like, but it's a day maybe every couple of months like, which is totally fair.
Yeah, no, but like I said, we're sort of just saying projects in general, and that's where the inspections come in. They're projects in general.
Yeah.
You know, because that project could be simply going around the site and doing a tidy up.
Yes.
You know, it could be me working on a new administrative project, streamlining our booking process, which we've sort of started doing over the last 3 years.
Cool. Yeah.
You know, I mean, we're not 100% there yet, but I mean,
no one ever is.
It's a living process.
Yes. It's a learning process as well. Every single day, is it?
Yeah.
I'm learning the same thing.
Exactly. You know, so we're always looking for ways to improve,
mm-hmm.
and of course, that's where the feedback from the customers, the clients, is really important.
Yeah.
And it's important it comes to us, because then we can action it, you know.
100%, yeah.
There's no point in people grumbling amongst themselves and then,
no.
then you know, not saying to us. So
always that's why.
So I'm always very, very welcoming of people coming and sort of saying, you know, if their ideas.
Yeah.
You know, so there's that way you can take it on board and hopefully
add
that into the next generation.
Totally.
Of the process.
Yeah.
But other things, like I said, just working on projects. You know, a site like Crawfordsburn,
it's massive. It never ends.
There's always something. It almost feels like once you get to the end of the process, you've got to go back to the start and start again.
It'd be not long. You'd be like, oh, it's not long. I was there. I have to go back and look at that again.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's just it. It's a huge site.
Yeah.
And there's just so much to do.
Sure.
You know, so.
Okay, perfect. So I'm going to ask this one because I knew the answer is going to be very big. We'll keep it to a few of them. So, what sort of activities do you run in Crawfordsburn?
Let's knock out the obvious ones that every centre does. So obviously we've got the things like archery, climbing wall, crate climbing, there's an abseil tower, zip line, canoeing, kayaking, raft building. What other ones I'd say? And then there's the generic team building.
Yes.
I'd say those are the ones that most centres will offer. They're the core offering
in
the centre. But other ones that we would offer that are a bit sort of different, maybe, is like our Tomahawks, which we're still working on.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, talking about projects, building a new range for that.
Okay.
Part of this winter's project.
Yeah.
So it is, you know, we've now just recently started up an airsoft rifle.
Range. Oh, fantastic.
So that's proven to be quite popular.
I'm sure, yeah.
Let's see, with 3G Swing. is also a bit.
I think my scouts did that. They were here coming into weekend, and they were like, "We did that. We hated it. It was so scary." I'm like, "Okay, then." I think that will.
What did they? I've never heard anyone.
No, they didn't hate it, but they're just like, "You pulled me back." I didn't realize this would happen. I was like.
All right.
I'm like, I don't know.
That sounds a bit more consistent. Yeah.
Yes. Oh no, they didn't hear it. Don't worry.
There's definitely a bit of a surprise element to them.
I think that's what it was. Yeah. And they're like, it was so they were caving as well at the weekend, which they absolutely loved the caving. I remember we were chatting about it, me and my other leader, and we both said, "Oh, the last time we were caving here, it's like, yeah, when I was here as a scout and Peter was still my leader." It's like that was been like 12 years ago, maybe 14 years ago, when we were last here camping. I remember doing the caving, loved it, and I knew my scouts. Some of them were like, you know, don't really like tight spaces. Absolutely loved it.
Oh yeah, no, I mean one of our seasonal guys there, Ross, has brought a new game to us actually, and it's definitely a game we'll be keeping in the case.
I feel like I know what game it is, but I'm not going to give away any hints.
You know, well, if you know what game it is, I think for familiar with the Among Us.
Yes. Honestly, when they came out, we played Among Us. It was so much fun. I was like,
yes.
Oh, okay then, fair enough.
It's proven to be extremely popular.
Yeah.
And again, like this is part of that, like, you know, totally. Process. We're always open to new ideas. So whenever Ross came and put this idea in, we seen it and just, it was a clicking, it was a light bulb moment of like,
you're like, of course.
This is fantastic.
Of course.
This is fantastic. Yeah. And it brings this activity to an even better level.
Yes.
So, you know, we've all started adopting it as a favorite.
And I know like we're, so our scouts did on the Saturday, I was just down the Saturday with them. They did like two groups. One was doing archery, one was doing the caving and swapped over. And literally both groups came out of caving being like, "We absolutely love playing Among Us." I'm like, "Oh, that's a good idea."
There's something fantastic about crawling through those tunnels, not aware if you're being chased by the meanwhile, trying to find whatever object you've been sent out to
find. Totally, yeah. Somewhere that you've never been before, kind of going, "How am I ever going to find this?"
You know, and of course, bumping into someone and being like, "Are you about to kill me?"
No, are you sure? Maybe.
You know.
Yes.
So, it's proven to be really, really popular. And that's a huge part of what we try to do, is try to be in sort of innovative, you know, in the games that we play. So we're not always just doing the same thing or the traditional games, because, you know, everyone's, other centers can do that. Let's be inventive.
Yes.
You know, let's make
do something different that they'll remember.
Yes, exactly. And let's make it interesting.
Okay.
You know.
So you said some of the activities you run. What would be your favorite activity to run if you had to choose one? Your favorite activity to run, and then what would be your favorite activity to actually take part in if you're able to?
Interesting.
It can be any activity here.
Right. I mean, I am very heavily water-based. I enjoy the water.
So that's why I'd hate it.
You know,
I'd hate that.
No, I do enjoy the water.
Okay.
Now, of course, like every activity here, you know, you have your good days, you have your bad days.
Of course.
But if I had to pick one, I'd probably go with the water in general.
Okay. Any particular water one?
You do the
raft building, don't you?
Yeah, we do raft building. The raft building can be quite fun.
Can be, if they do it right.
To be honest, actually, it's always quite fun to watch fall apart.
I remember doing it on a camp years ago in England somewhere, and they were like, "Go out that island on your raft you've built," and we're like, "If this goes in the water, it's going to collapse." It pretty much did. And we just threw us on a barrel, just being like, just go over to it. Mm-hmm. And then we got to the island, then stole the one raft who worked, and they come back the way we came. We're like, "Get it, quickly go." We did that.
No, that's it. I mean, I'm always a fan of kayaking.
Yeah.
Because I am a kayaker myself.
Fair.
So, I really enjoy that, because there's so much we can do, you know. Like down there, you know, for obviously, as everyone probably knows, if they've been to Crawfordsburn with water activities, we're very weather dependent.
Yes, totally.
But, you know, depending on the age group that we're working with and the skills available, mm-hmm. We can get a wee bit of range of stuff down there.
Totally, yeah.
Sometimes if we get a nice sort of, you know, onshore wind, you know, we might get some waves, which can be quite fun for a more experienced group.
Yes, totally.
You might actually get a wee bit of surf.
Which
is always a little fun. We're not talking like Port Rush, you
know, or 30-foot waves.
Yeah, we're not talking those, you know, but at the same time, you know, it's fun for someone who's never
done 100%, yeah.
You know, it's only maybe a foot, 2 foot, but it's enough.
It's still something.
It's enough to propel that boat, and it gets them a feel for it, and it becomes quite interesting. So, but if I had to take part in activity,
it can be the water runs again as well. Don't worry.
Yeah. No, I mean, let's see.
Actually, no, it can't be. We'll make it something different. It can't be the water activities.
I probably quite like the creek climb. Because that would be a close one for me to run. I enjoy running that. You know, but I think the creek climb can be quite fun, because you can do a lot of additional challenges.
I'm sure, yeah.
Any children that have had the unfortunate thing to be on my session.
Okay.
we'll know this. I like to throw in additional challenges.
It makes it more fun for them. It's not fun just climbing up it and doing it that way. You need to make it something interesting for them as well.
It makes me laugh.
And that's the main thing.
That's what it's about. Yeah. You know? So look, again, as I said before, like I love changing things up and trying to make it fun, not just for myself, but you know, for the kids. Most importantly for the kids.
Yes.
You know, but I figure if it's fun for me, yes, then that fun should come through.
100%, yeah.
And, you know, and hopefully the kids will enjoy it. You know, and it becomes a lot of fun. But, yeah, I would love to try it. I'd love to do the Great Climb.
Fantastic. Yeah. I'm sure we can try it. I'm sure anyone listening, anytime you're down here and Matthew's about, make him do it. Okay. Whether he's free or not, just make him do it.
I will entertain you greatly.
Perfect. So, I suppose you kind of mentioned earlier about how you just recently engaged, recently got a newborn. Out of scouting and being in, you know, Croppersburn, what do you do with yourself? Might not be much, just because you're here all the time. But what you know, what any hobbies do you have? What sort of fun things do you like doing?
Yeah, I mean, again, outdoors is in general it. You know?
Yeah.
Like I do enjoy my walks. I enjoy my climb. Well, I enjoy my climbing.
Okay.
I tend to sort of gravitate much more into the mountains rather than an indoor walk.
Like Boulder World, I've never been there to hit that.
Oh, Boulder World's great. It is great, and of course it works on your technical skills.
Yes, but then you've got one down here as well, though.
But I just really enjoy
being outside,
the outdoors. Yes. I feel like, in one hand, it's easier. I don't know why.
Okay.
But in the hand, it's just more real.
Okay,
it's
just fair. More real. Yeah.
But I mean, I find that real rock just feels easier than an indoor wall. I don't know why. It just feels that way.
Fair enough. Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you know, you still come down off the mountain aching and sore. You know, you still had a good day out.
Yeah, totally.
You know, but it's just enjoyable for me. But then, like paddling, you know, I really enjoy my paddling.
Fair.
Particularly whitewater. That's.
I did that once and hated it. So we, this is completely off topic, I'll just tell the story anyway. We went with our scouts to Kanderstag in 2014. I feel like I might have told the story in this podcast, well, that's the other funny thing. We were doing whitewater rafting and they were like, Michael, you have to do it, you're a leader. I'm like, I don't want to, you don't have a choice, you're a leader, you have to do it. So we got in the boat and you thought in the middle of the Swiss Alps, you know, instructors are going to be, you know, European. Guy sat down, like, where are you from? Oh, Belfast. Oh, really? I'm from Coleraine. And we're like, what? I'm from Coleraine. And we're like, why are you here? And like, it was a great crack. I hated every minute of it. Hated it. I got told there's a steak at the end of the day for you. I'm like, that's all that matters. Didn't get my steak. I'm still annoyed to this day. I hated it, but it was a good crack to do. But like, you know, when am I going to say, Ian, I've whitewater rafted in the middle of the Swiss Alps? I'm not.
Yeah,
no, but I hated it.
It's a huge amount of fun.
Yes.
And to this day, I still get my nerves whenever I'm going on it. Like I describe whitewater kayaking as a 4-step process. So first step is confidence.
I didn't have that.
Okay, so that's whenever you're out of your boat, you're at the side of the river, you're looking at the rapid, and you're going, yeah, I can see the route that I need to do.
I was at that point peeing myself, I'm pretty sure, going, I'm about to have a nervous breakdown right now. Well, just, I'm interested in the step to see how much of it I was like, I hit this, okay.
So confidence, yeah. One that you seem to have missed.
Very much so.
So confidence, you're there. So yep. Then you start walking back to your boat, which is further up the river. And if you're getting into your boat, this is where the second phase kicks in.
Okay.
Nerves.
Oh, they were there, when I got told we're doing this the day of it, still in Canada.
So maybe you started with nerves. Maybe you started at nerves.
I think so.
That's whenever you're starting to, like, those little doubts are starting to come in, being like, oh, do I remember the line? You know, do I remember where I need to go?
Totally.
The third step is regret.
I had that as well.
So that's as you're approaching the top of the rapid, you see it and you're going, oh, this looks
like my regret was saying yes, I do it. Yeah. That was my regret.
Oh dear. But the regrets when you see that rapid and you're going, oh no, this is have I made a mistake?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
The fourth step is just committed. You know, the river's not got you. You're going with it.
Nah, unfortunately, that was me. And
whether you want it or not.
I enjoyed it. Would I do it again? Never, ever again.
Many stories on the river.
That four-step process was regret, regret, regret. I'm on it now. Still regret.
Yeah.
More like maybe a 10-step process of, I hate this, I hate this, I hate this. I'm regretting. Do I have to do this? Yes, I really don't want to do it. You're doing it.
Yeah, no.
And that's what happened to me.
I mean, the funny thing is, I'm genuinely terrified of almost everything I do in the outdoors. That's an interesting.
Aren't we all though?
It's an interesting.
Aren't we all?
You know, but yeah, like I also know at the end of the day, hopefully it'll be fun.
Fingers crossed.
So it is. Hopefully it'll be fun.
Yes.
And thankfully, 9 times out of 10, it is.
Okay. Yes.
But yeah. But no, Whitewater's probably my favourite.
Okay.
Unfortunately, I since moving back to Northern Ireland about 3-4 years ago, you know, I really haven't fallen in with a Whitewater group here, so actually...
Is there much Whitewater rafting in Northern Ireland? I'm kind of thinking of places where you could do it. I'm like,
not really rafting.
Really?
Kayaking, yes.
Yes.
But the problem with Northern Ireland rivers is they're very weather dependent.
Yes, yeah.
You need the rain. So it is. The problem with our rivers is that rivers tend to come up very quickly and
yeah.
come down. So, you know,
yeah.
you're sitting in your house and you see the rain and you're like, oh,
let's go.
Everyone grabs their boats. And by the time you get to the river, it could have stopped and the river's going
to
be backed
up. Or by the time you get to the river, they have actually even rained at that point
yeah.
there.
Exactly. So, yeah, I mean, you sort of almost need flood conditions, I think, to bring the rivers up into... like.
From East Belfast, we flood all the time there. You think I'm joking?
But, no.
I'm not.
I see the news. You know,
I feel it. I love it.
But yeah, no. But yeah, look, our rivers tend to also be fairly, you know, low level.
Yeah, so, and they're not that wide either. So, I find
it's not even that. It's like what I mean is like entry level in terms of skill.
Okay. Yeah.
And then they seem to skip the intermediate level and go straight to advanced.
Okay.
You know. So whereas I'm quite comfortable in my intermediate to high intermediate.
Yes.
You know, I'm not going to be quite ready for the advance. I'll give it a go, but
you don't. Sometimes you won't have a choice in Northern Ireland. Yeah, oh, fine. Oh no, this is not fine.
But yeah, I mean, like, I'm quite comfortable in a grade 4 rapid.
Okay.
5 is sort of the top.
Okay. Yes. Yeah.
6 is whenever luck starts to play a factor. So
what does it go up to grade 10? Then would it be
no,
or
6 is the is the current survivable grade.
Current survivable.
a couple of years ago, it was 5.
Okay, and then
5 was the grade. And 6 was basically a death sentence if you went on it. Whereas now 6 is, it's part of that will be down to boat
okay.
designs have come through and obviously skill level
yes,
has gone
yes,
up.
Of course, yeah.
So yeah, 6 is now
okay.
survivable, but I would describe it as actually still requiring an element of luck. So
okay.
it's not 100% your skill.
Yes.
There's still an element of luck in there, but then that's the same with almost anything
yeah.
outdoors.
So where would be, again, completely off, not slightly off topic, your favorite place you've ever whitewater rafted in the world? Where it could be anywhere. I'm just interested to know.
So, a lot of my kayaking was done over my uni days in Ambleside. So it was, so we had a river there. It was
okay.
Clydebank.
Okay.
So it was a nice grade 4 piece, a very committed grade 4 piece.
Okay.
So with most rivers, you can jump out almost anytime.
Okay.
You know, it's a nice
yes.
gentle bang.
Okay.
River.
Yes.
But this is good. This is sort of coming down a mountain. So
wow. Okay.
Sort of got, like, No, whenever I say mountain, I'm not talking hundreds of miles.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm talking maybe you're descending maybe, you know, 200-300 maybe meters.
Still a decent, you know, decent amount.
So you are, but the stretch of the river was maybe 10 kilometer.
Okay, so, long enough.
So yeah, so it's a case of like if you for some reason end up out of your boat, as it does happen from time to time.
Yes.
You'll end up swimming for quite some time before you get to a point where
yes.
you can exit.
Yes.
Which is not where you want to be because you've got rocks, you've got all this, and
you've got no boat.
And you've got no boat. That thing becomes a battering ram.
Yes.
Whenever it's full of water. But also one of the biggest dangers we would have found was other people would put like chicken wire in the river.
Seriously?
Yeah, yeah. People would put like razor wire, chicken wire, all that sort of stuff in the river or just at the right height almost to catch your throat.
Why?
So they just didn't like kayakers. And that was it. Sometimes you weren't sure if it was the farmer that was doing it. Like
yeah.
Land. They didn't like you paddling down it. Or if it was just, to be honest, just someone.
Just being like, I just want to.
Just wanted to.
Annoy someone.
Yeah, just yeah. wanted to end someone.
Mad.
You know, so it would have been a fairly common thing for us, obviously, to see the signal from the first person who's running the rapid.
Yes.
Which is he's spotted a hazard. You move to the left.
And there'd always be a lot of people going out at one time, I'm guessing, yeah?
Minimum of 3.
Okay, so...
It was quite minimum.
Okay,
three,
just for that reason, in case there was
It was obviously for just general...
Safety as well,
after each other,
yeah.
You know, because, you know, any number of hazards could be on the river.
100%, yeah.
But no, that had to be my favourite one. It also had to be some of my more gnarliest moments as well.
Yes.
Which may be why it's one of my more favourite ones, you know?
Maybe, yes.
Just as, you know, good memories. And by good memories, I mean terrifying.
Okay. Fair enough.
You know.
I find as well the terrifying memories are the ones you remember the most as well, though.
Yeah.
Like that whitewater rafting out in Switzerland. I hated it. that I remember it today, still being like the man from Korean. Yeah. I remember all of it. Yeah. I don't want to remember it, but the terrifying things is what you remember in the long run.
Absolutely. You know, and it was just like I said, it was a very fun river because at the time it was me pushing my grade. So that was a step up, you know, and it was fun.
Totally. Yeah, really. Perfect. So final question, you'll be happy to hear. So the next few years, how would you like to see Crawfordsburn develop as a scout centre?
Yeah.
I'm sure you think about this all the time, how you can develop it all the time.
Yeah, actually, to be honest, it's never far from our thoughts, you know. And we were obviously talking about this a wee bit before
sort
of a chat on this.
Yeah.
But I see it very much as a place for development. Now, Crawfordsburn itself has not yet fully reached its potential, I don't think. I feel like it has the ability, it's at a point where it can go down two paths.
Okay.
It can go down one where it mimics every other centre that's out there.
Yeah.
Or we try to do something a little different.
Yeah.
And we focus and keep with the sort of the key tenet of scouting, as we said, of developing people.
Yes.
And we make it into a bit of a training centre.
Okay.
You know, now it still has the activity element to it.
Yes, of course.
But we could start pushing down this like training element,
not
just within scouting, but outside of scouting.
Okay.
But the way I've described this before is I would like to see Crawfordsburn become the Tullymore of the scouting world.
In
Northern Ireland.
I can see that, yeah.
You know, a place where like we can run our permits here, we do all that, you know, we put up our regular dates, people can come to us for training, for their assessments. You know, and then run other training here, like maybe the Wood Badge training, which obviously is still here.
Yeah.
You know, but it becomes a place of a centralized place of training. But most importantly, it's something where we're all proud to say that we did our training there.
And 100%,
whenever you say like we did our training there, it means like it's a thing of excellence, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where I want to get to.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like that would be really good. I would also like to be starting to run like some DOE work out of here, you know, education work. But something that's always been in the back of my head, and I think it'd be fantastic to do, because one, we have the equipment for it, and we should then also have the skills for it as well among the staff team.
Yeah,
that'd be the professional qualifications and all that. Is I would love to be able to offer like expedition to scout groups.
Fantastic. Yeah.
So like something a little different that they might not be able to do within their own group.
Totally, yeah. You know? You come here knowing we can go to Crawfordsburn, we can book it in as an activity over a weekend going, we want to run an expedition.
Well, for example, sea kayaking.
Yeah.
I would love to be able to run a sea kayaking expedition.
That'd be fantastic.
Like, right, okay, you know, it could be two programs. It could be one, yes, we do the expedition, or it could also be a training element prior
to
make sure the skills are there, and then we go on this expedition.
Totally.
So it could be a year-long program.
Yeah.
We have set training days, we'll come in, we'll do everything, and then we go on this big week-long expedition, for example, at the end of the year. Now, this could also be tied into badge work and all that.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's something that we could offer, and I think it'd be very, very good that other centres, at least in Northern Ireland, don't offer.
Okay.
But it's something to look forward to. So like you said, if you're doing sea kayaking, you know, you go for a week sea kayaking, or it could be a journey from Crawfordsburn to, you know, Derry, Londonderry.
Yes.
So it could, you know, we finish up there and then get
to the car. It's a car.
And then get the train back. Yeah. You know, like, or we have our own facility, obviously buses and things like that. We can take it up.
Totally, yeah.
But it would be something different.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, something that would be perfectly, I think the scout groups would actually be very interested in doing that. Like, not just one scout group, for example. I may put it out and go out, we're running a sea kayaking trip.
Yes.
You book onto it. You know, so I could have two from one group, three from another group. You know, this way it actually allows groups to sort of intermingle a little bit as well.
Yeah.
So we get to see each other and see what they're all about.
It's the networking side of it as well.
And then they spread, and they spend a week together.
Yeah.
You know, doing time, we'll be camping on the shore, we'll be doing all that. You know, we might even do some fishing and, you know, eating fish. You know, I mean, there's so many options.
Endless opportunities, that
perfectly tie in with scouting.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that'd be quite a fun thing to do.
Fantastic.
You know, like I said, I'm just using sea kayaking as an example.
Oh,
we could also do a mountain expedition.
Yes.
Where we'll do a weekend of climbing.
Yeah.
You know, it could be stuff like that.
And you will have those groups who, again, can't do the stuff, that might have leaders who don't have the time to do it and going, okay, we know we can just book it in with Crawfordsburn and they can do it.
Yeah. I mean, like, and that's another avenue, I think. You know, like, I feel like there's a lot that we can do that other centers aren't able to offer.
Yes.
you know, and obviously these are, as I said at the moment, just thoughts in the head, mm-hmm. but I think like they're perfectly feasible, and I would love to see it happen.
Fantastic.
Because it would just be another opportunity.
100%, I mean, yeah.
Some of my best expedition memories are of those unusual ones, like Sea Cack and the islands of Scotland for a week.
Wow, so, fantastic.
So like that was really, really fun, you know, mm-hmm. but it came with its own problems, you know, weather changes, you mm-hmm. remember being stuck on an island for 3 days.
Yeah,
you know, because the waves were just too big for us, and we weren't feeling confident,
which is out.
So we made the call to stay, and it lasted for 3 days. Needless to say, I was very happy to get off that island.
I
managed to walk around it a couple hundred times.
I'm sure. By the time
I was done, you know, it was not a big island.
No,
you know, or like I said, stopping off at islands to find water sources, you know, things like that, you know, or even like little camping. I remember setting up a camp at one time, and you know, and next thing we found out was that it was tick infested. So we very quickly took the camp down. And
I bet.
We marched into the water just to get them all off us. You know,
I mean,
those are the memories, you know, they're fun.
Yes.
You know? But like I said, those are things like we've all done, you know.
Yeah.
Our camping trips, you know, and you remember them. It's quite fun. But like I said, I would love to offer like those little trips out, you know.
Fantastic.
Little expedition work.
So, fantastic. Yeah. Thank you very much for joining me today.
No problem.
It's great to hear more about Cromer Springs, with what you actually offer. Because there will be people out there who have never, ever been to Cromer Springs in their life.
Yeah.
Because I know a lot of my scouts, we were joking saying, you know, last time we were here, maybe like 12, 13 years ago, we said to one of our scouts, how old are you? He's like 13. We're like, he wasn't even born.
Yeah.
He wasn't even born the last time I was here, was camping with my scouts. Yeah. I'm like, that says it all, that they've never, ever had that experience. So I suppose it is good for people to hear what actually is being, you know, it's all good, you know, seeing stuff online going, that looks good, but hearing is always the best thing.
Look, I mean, we always encourage people to come down, have a wee visit,
even
if you're thinking about it, you
just,
know, have a look, come talk to us, and we can chat through options and ideas.
Yeah.
You know, it's always a good thing.
But perfect. Yeah. Thank you very much.
No problem.
And we'll see you next month.